path, the leader.
Yeah, okay.
Well, one of the things that I hadn't thought of, actually, until David was asking you about, you know, what this looked like and what that looked like was, because I've never been in the North Fork Valley, the watershed part of the North Fork Valley, and I'm trying to think what it would look like. Because you were, I mean, your house and your church, they were on the valley floor?
The church was on a hillside. The house was close to the valley floor. Being right at the bottom of this mountain, sort of, it was more or less on a hill. But it was flat where the house was.
Uh-huh.
And the hill itself just kind of gently rolled off. In both directions, there was a branch on one side, and it leveled out on that side to kind of follow the creek around the side of the mountain. The other one rolled off, and there was a small little runoff from that spring, so there was water there. It was marshy in mm-hmm. places, but it also leveled out, and it was more like if you can just imagine the mountain running down and leveling out,
uh-huh.
and still not being flat, but just sort of easily, gently leveling out.
Uh-huh. So you would have been looking, I mean, you wouldn't have looked down on very much, probably.
No.
Because you were close to the bottom.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It was more like, I'm higher here than I was at
right.
that house, but I was looking out at fields. The cattle grazed in part of it. He farmed part of it. it was all usable. I think I told you before I had a calf that was a pet until she got so big I couldn't handle her. And then he sold her, and that's how I got my piano to take lessons.
At home?
That's how I got a piano at home.
Oh.
Until then, I had been taking piano lessons and playing the organ, the old pump organ that was at home. Unfortunately, it got away from me. I don't have it anymore. It grieves me. But, you know, we didn't know what we had.
Sure.
We didn't know it was going to be valuable someday. We wanted to keep it.
It was younger.
Yeah.
Right.
And then beyond the fields, there would have been the mountains. I mean, would you... That's what I'm trying to picture. Like, would you have been... Were you ringed around?
I was ringed around. But it was a wide valley.
Uh-huh.
So beyond the fields, there was a creek and a road and more fields,
oh,
and
okay.
then another mountain.
Uh-huh.
So it was a wide valley. It wasn't like we were just... I'm more in a place here in this side of the mountains where I have to look up to see out than I was there.
So you could look across this wide valley before you would...
I think I felt like more that I was in the forest than in the mountain, on the mountain.
I see.
Yeah. That's how it was.
And so when you were sitting on the steps at the Sunday school, is that what you would have seen forest more than
I would have seen in front of me part of the mountain that surrounded my house.
Uh-huh.
And forest. But it was clear for the cemetery and the church and the road and things. In the area where I was, it was not as wide open as this is, but pretty clear.
Did you ever climb up high?
Oh, yes, I did. I didn't ever go alone up to the top, but I remember climbing up in the daytime with my uncle, whose glasses he lost. he had the kind that were rimmed with metal,
uh-huh.
and he caught them on a limb, and that limb, it was a green limb, tossed them somewhere, and we never found them. It caught them and slapped back, and they were gone. Never found them.
It what was it? The mountain, like right.
It was the mountain behind the house, the one the clear cut.
and what could you see at the top then?
I don't remember.
Do you remember what it looked like?
I don't remember. I just remember being in a lot of woods.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going up that mountain one time to find the lost dog, who had dug himself into a hole, and he did die. That was sad.
Oh.
His name was Trigger.
Trigger.
Yes, he was after something. I don't remember what. But he dug himself in. And another dog took us there, and we found him, and he was dead.
It was too late.
Yeah.
Do you remember the seasons changing? Do you remember Did you have a favorite season when you lived in the North Fork?
I always liked fall best.
Put your mind's eye back there for a second, if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what did it look like in the fall?
Have you ever been here in the fall?
Yes, ma'am.
It was beautiful. It was all yellow and red, and it smelled good, and I liked the crisp fall days. I've never been one that enjoyed summer so much because it's got bugs and things that bite you and it's too hot. I really like fall best of all. I like the early spring. I think Easter is my most favorite time of the year as a holiday season, but the fall is my best season, period of the year. My daddy liked fall. It smelled good and it was pretty.
Were there things you did in fall that you didn't do at other times of year? Well, as a farmer, he must have. He had hogs?
They had hogs. They killed hogs. He always cured meat every year that I can remember.
That's a good smell.
She made soap. She didn't do it because she had to. She did it because Grandma did it and she wanted to.
My aunt. Your aunt.
And she would get this, she put fire under the big black pot outside and they cooked the fat out of the pork and made soap with ashes and I don't know what, lye.
Uh-huh.
And the stuff would, it cleaned your clothes. I mean, she used it. She didn't just do it for fun.
And she was...
She used it. They put apples in barrels in the upstairs of the house, big wooden barrels, tall ones like this. They must have... I don't know what they would have held, but they were huge. And he'd save them all winter. And they would get mealy, but they never did rot until early spring when they'd start to grow, you know.
Right.
I can smell that yet.
I bet you could smell it in the house all winter long.
Mm-hmm. You could. She had a cabinet similar to this one that she would bake pies and cakes and put inside. She'd stack up. She called them fruit pies, and what they were was applesauce in a crust. It had a crust on top and a crust on the bottom. And stack them up, 10 or 12. And that cabinet, till this very day, smells like those pies. My daughter has it. It's just in the wood. It's going to always smell like cinnamon.
That's a nice thought.
Yeah.
Well, I remember you talking about how now people put houses on the slopes, and you were saying that you didn't like that. You didn't like the fact that the...
I don't. I hate it. I know that in this area, if you don't put a house on this hillside, you can't build a house. But not many people go to that ridgeline and cut the trees down and build something on it. And those who do should not.
I was just thinking whether there were places, because I'm still trying to picture this, whether you could see the slopes of the mountains ringed around, I was trying to figure out if part of the reason you didn't like people putting houses on the mountains was because you were used to seeing the mountains without houses on
probably.
From before. I mean, probably. From the valley, could you see those mountains behind, or were you mostly looking...
Oh, I could see them. I could see the Blue Ridge Parkway from my front porch.
Okay. Well, that's what I thought, because I know from the parkway you can see down.
I could see the part of the parkway where there's a restaurant now on the other, opposite side of the road, and you can see off both sides. That's
right.
The part I could see.
Right.
Probably, I guess, you're right. I didn't ever see houses built up on the sides of the mountains. Now, I am told, and I'm sure the person who said it knows, that... When the man, Mr. Mitchell, what was his name? Who the mountain was named after him?
Mr. Mitchell.
When he was in the mountains, and there was a trail, a road that actually went all the way up into the mountains, and that there was an inn built up there somewhere on the side of the mountain where people would travel and stop and then go on. But I don't know where that is. I've never been that far. Michael Begley, I believe, was the one who had pictures of that old site, slides. And I didn't know that. I was amazed. But mostly the people did not build their houses on sides of the mountains. Now, the people that were argued for the clear cut would tell you they had cut the trees and farmed the mountainsides. They didn't do that. They cut trees to build houses. They cleared land so their cattle could go. But they farmed the bottom lands. Why would they have been silly enough to go and farm a mountainside when they had bottom land that was wonderful? They didn't do that. I think after the clear cut issue, I just started collecting things in my head that I thought would be horrendous. And one of the Begleys did build a house on the mountain in Black Mountain. If you travel towards Black Mountain, on the very top of the mountain, there's a house. You can see it for 2 or 3 miles before you get there. And I don't know why he thought that was a good idea, but because there is another issue there, the whole side of that mountain where his house is on top, there are now houses all about. I know that people have to have a place to live. I know they come to the mountains because they want to see the mountains, but once they do this, they're destroying what they came to see. And I don't... They passed a law that says you can't build a house over 2,900 feet, didn't they?
Yeah, some of the ridge laws.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But...
I'm back before dinner. Hey.
I don't know that I think people are abiding by that law. But now see all around me here in this area, this is what they own. If they didn't build a house on it, they couldn't have one. So then there's that thing at Sugar Mountain, that disgrace to the whole world that nobody should have ever built.
Right.
Yeah.
You can see it for miles, and it's just a box on top of a mountain. It's ugly. Yeah. I don't know how they ever came to let them do that. Probably didn't know that it would look like that once they started.
I guess if you're inside the house looking down, it probably don't look so bad.
I guess not.
It's all the rest of us that ever look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, back to the 1940s for just a minute.
Okay.
But when you were growing up there, were there any signs of the North Fork community of your mother's childhood that were left? Were there any signs of those people that were still that you could see?
There were two houses that I remember still back there above where that water line is in the picture I showed you. Really beautiful place. One of the Burnetts lived in one of them, and it was not torn down until they did build a dam and they moved him out completely. He lived way back there. It was right in a very secluded place. Then there was another house that had belonged to some of the Burnetts, a big house. It had 12, 15 rooms probably, a very good house. It had a porch all around, and it had also been used as a clubhouse by these same people from the Rod and Gun Club. They had used both houses. But it was still fully furnished. It was a beautiful house. And I assume that they tore it down. I don't know. But I've not been back there in a very long time. So I don't know what's left. But there were remnants of other houses in the woods. There was a trail from where I lived, where I grew up mostly, to the two intakes. The dams that supplied the whole place forever were tiny. And we could walk through the woods and go there. And there were, you would find old chimneys still standing. And my Uncle George always could tell me who had lived there. And I don't remember, but there were still things left behind.
What like, you'd see chimneys, you'd mm-hmm. Fences left?
Yes, there's a fence. There's a fence still there, built of stone, that my grandfather built. When Governor Vance was still Senator Vance, mm-hmm. he had a house up there. And he hired people to work just so they would have a job. Mm-hmm. And they built those And that one is still there, part of it. So, at least it was. How long has it been? 15 or 20 years ago? Right. I guess it's still there.
Right. So you'd see things like that. Were there old springs that people had carved out that you had?
I'm sure there were, but I don't remember them. I remember the Gombroon place where Senator Vance had lived. There were spring houses still standing. The foundation of that house was still standing. It was beautiful. There was a circular driveway around where the house, it was on top of a mountain. It literally was. We walked up there one time when I was a child. My mother had been able to go there and play. I think my aunt must have worked for them people too. What did I just say? Well, my grandma isn't what it was, once was. She had a ceramic tile. It was yellow that we kept for years. I don't know what happened to it. That had come out of the fireplace in that house. Wow. And after it burned, hunters probably, I don't know, would go and vandalize the place and just take pieces of it away, and what was left was soon destroyed. But when I went there, and it's been probably 30 years that there were trees still lining that drive. I don't know what kind they were. I don't remember.
Do you remember places that your parents or your aunt and uncle would talk about that, like first interview you did with Kathy, you said that they used to talk about, I think, a place called Big Cove. Mm-hmm.
Big Cove is where they wanted to cut and did, I believe. They cut timber out of it.
And there were people there once.
Yes, there were. That valley was well populated once. They had a logging operation up there. I have a picture.
They had a sawmill?
They had a sawmill. I have a picture downstairs of the loggers. My grandfather was one of my uncles, my mother's uncles, and they used oxen to log with. They had a commissary, a store.
That was part of it. Uh-huh. What did they call it? Did you hear?
I don't know. All I ever remember him saying, and they referred to the land after it was all gone as the old commissary. That's all I ever remember.
Were there other places like Big Cove that they talk about, that they'd say that this used to be a place where people were, or that?
I don't. Yes, Sugar Fork is where the Gombroon place was, and I think there were some Martin people lived up there somewhere in that area. You know, I don't remember the names of the people. Mama would have, but I don't have her anymore. Why I didn't write all this stuff down, I don't know. Because now that she's gone, I don't know who to ask.
Sure.
My sister-in-law is still alive, but she didn't live up there in that area. She knows a lot of the people who were there. She actually is akin to them. And she knows about them after they moved out, but she doesn't know much about that place. Right. My uncle's family came there and settled, I believe, from Jackson County at the time, but I don't know how they got to Jackson County. I have some evidence that my grandfather grew up maybe in Rutherford County, at least probably when he was inducted into the Army or joined on his own. He lived down there.
Well, what did the did your aunt and uncle talk about when they first moved the rest of the folks out, the rest of the people out, how they did that?
I don't know how they did that. I think they just told them to leave, and they had a time limit in which to go.
Well, what about y'all then?
We were able to stay.
They stayed
in the house where my mama had grown up, and where my uncle had lived with his family, where he took my aunt to live when they were married, and they lived with his mother and father until they died. We were able to stay in that house because he worked for them.
Did they always know they were going to have to leave?
No.
Do you remember when they were first, I know it's a hard thing to remember, but like when they first had any consciousness that you were going to have to leave the place? Do you remember when that was, when they first?
I think when they moved them out the first time and put them in the other place where I literally did grow up, that was probably their first real reality that they were going to have to move out for good eventually. Uh-huh. Because for years it just went on. He stayed there and farmed the land and worked for North Fork. And nobody was there but him and two of the Burnetts. One of them, and they all worked for the city. Thad Burnett ran the water plant. Now, the water plant was a joke for those two intakes. It was like a tiny building with machinery in it that dispensed chlorine into the water as it passed by in this pipe thing, and it was very small. He did it himself. I mean, he didn't even have to have help to do it.
This was a very low-key, low-tech
thing. And then all of a sudden it ballooned into what it is now, and it has gotten much more complex since 1955. They've changed it.
So they moved y'all out in 1954?
Yeah. You see, we had a home. My parents had a home. We already had built it out near where the North Fork Road forks. And one goes toward the Brown Farm and one goes toward the rest of the North Fork Valley. That's where my mama's house and dad's house was. We had a home, but my aunt and uncle's home was literally torn down. They had to be moved out at about 1954. And that was really hard for him because he was attached to his horses and his cows and his guineas. And I can remember him being emotional and crying. And he was old. And he didn't know how he was going to continue the rest of his life. And he didn't very long. He lived about 2 years.
After that?
Yeah.
Did they move in with y'all, or did they have...
They tore the house down, as I told you, and my daddy and his brother-in-law and my mama's stepdad, they came and tore the house down, moved it out, and built another house. And after they had started it, my father ended up finishing the house himself with the help of my uncle, but it was a nice house, and it's still there. It has been sold several times. Near where I lived, where Mama's house was.
So when
it was the first time they had ever had a bathroom in their house. Uh-huh. They had ever had electricity. Uh-huh. The first time they'd ever had electricity. I remember when they turned on his electricity. I came from church, and here every light in that house was on, and he was so happy because he could see.
What year did you move off the watershed?
After the war, when my father came home, we were still staying with my aunt and uncle most of the time, some of the time with my grandparents. Uh-huh. In a house on Montreat Road in Black Mountain. And they built, my grandfather bought this property on North Fork, and he split it up. He gave his daughter a portion of it and my dad a portion of it. And he kept a portion of it. And so Daddy and his sister both built a house there. So that was like, I was probably fifth or sixth grade by then, when all of that finally got finished. And so we had a home. We had literally moved out, and they were on their own, but we kept going back because we had to. She would be sick a lot.
She'd go back, and your aunt would help take care of her.
My mama would help take care of
her.
Her
aunt was sick.
Oh, okay.
So, she, after they moved out, he may have, I don't know if they were there 2 whole years. They lived with us, actually. They came out and stayed with us in our house while Daddy built the house. They had to. And that was okay, you know. I can remember that. They stayed with us several months, and Daddy built a house. Then we moved, and we'd had stored their furniture and all of their belongings in a basement of my grandfather's house, or a house that he owned. And then when we moved them into their house, I don't believe that he lived more than a year or two. I think that they had one garden in that place. Yeah, he had his garden. He had a cow. and then he died. He had a heart attack in his yard. And she lived. He died in April, and she died in September the same year. I think that the move probably killed them both. He just couldn't do all he couldn't deal with his life changing so drastically, and he was old and he was sick, and she was not able to fight off the cancer anymore after doing all of that and having him die too. Maybe her will to continue just wasn't so great anymore.
It's hard to change like that.
It is. It was hard for them. Their whole lifestyle changed. They had been in a very protected place where they didn't have to deal with the public. And then they just couldn't.
What about you? Did you get... I mean, was it hard for you to change from being...
It was very hard. It was very hard to be removed and never be able to go back. It's hard to talk about it now. It's hard for me to think that I've left it all behind and now I have to ask permission to go there. But when I did leave, I gave Bob Brown the keys because after Mama died, I continued to clean the clubhouse for them. They paid me about $30 a month just so I could go there. Mm-hmm. And when I took him the keys, he told me I could come back and go there anytime I wanted to. I just had to tell him to... so we could have somebody let me in.
When you moved up here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you remember actually when your aunt and uncle had to move off? Do you remember them moving the house and taking the furniture, that kind of thing?
Yes, I do. It was a traumatic time, a hard time. I was in school, so the actual move was occurring while I was going to school and coming home. I don't remember who did it. I'm sure that they had to get assistance with somebody with trucks, and I don't know who that would have been. They had a lot of stuff to move. He had farm equipment, the kind that the horses pulled. Uh-huh. I don't know what happened to it. I wish I did. I think my aunt persuaded him to give it to some of her people. His nephews may have taken some of it. And I don't mean that they literally went and took it away. I mean, he may have given it to them. They had one animal left. The horses, I don't know what he did with them. He must have sold them to someone. I wish I knew who had taken them. And then the cow, they took it with them and rented a place for her to be. And I think her brother, my aunt's brother, took the cow after she died. It was a hard, confusing time for all of us. And Daddy was working up there in the construction of the dam. He was a carpenter, and he took a job with a contractor up there and worked until they finished it. I mostly remember that particular time as being very hard and confusing, and it was hard at home because we were too many of us in one house, and it was hectic. And then when they got to move in, they were so happy, and they were there for about a year before he died. I don't think it was more than that, and that was sad.
You didn't actually see the place flooded.
When the water started coming in?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see it until it was filled, and I didn't believe that it would be. You know, it was hard for me to imagine that thing filling up so fast. It didn't take long. And then there was this huge dam. I guess it was just as well that I didn't see it gradually. They had us, we couldn't go. It was private property, and nobody got to go in until they established the operation of the dam. And then there was a public road that went all the way around, but you have to go in from the back to get to it now without going through a gate. And the one on the other side where the church was and where I lived is always locked except at certain times of the day. I think the mailman can go up the other way. So I didn't see the water come in, no. I was amazed. I remember thinking that I didn't believe it would ever do that. You know, because when you've got one main stream running through your valley and you know it's there, you don't think of all the little tiny ones that are feeding it.
Right. Right.
It didn't occur to me that that could possibly happen.
Right.
It's beautiful.
The lake.
Yeah, it is. If you couldn't remember what was under it, it would be better.
It would be
prettier.
I was going to say, I'm glad you can think that it's beautiful even after seeing it the other way.
Yeah. Well, you have to accept what you can't change. And it's there. It's going to stay. I believe that they're in the process of working on a water plant for the Mills River to supplement this, which won't happen for a couple more years. 2002?
I don't remember, but yeah.
They need to do that. It's not big enough now.
For Asheville?
No. And especially this year when we've had a drought. But they had a dam at Beetree. I don't believe that it's functional anymore. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Maybe it is. It wasn't very big. It was pretty.
Kathy said she had a story that you told that was off the record last time.
You told me about your uncle. We stopped the tape recorder. But you told me about your uncle the day that he left, and he had this flock of guinea hens.
And you don't have to tell it on this tape either, but I was kind of hoping you would. She said it really helped create a sense of what it meant to him and to you to leave the place.
They were moving on the mount. They had already moved all of their belongings except the furniture, I think. And we had gone to feed the animals because they had to continue to do that until we could dispose of them or do something with them. I don't know where those guineas ended up, but he didn't take them with him.
Uh-huh.
But he had a disorder of some sort that caused him to jerk, and he would have to hold his arms across his chest like this and in order to maintain. And I can remember
his
him
whole body would kind of
just the top, just his shoulders and arms. I don't know what that was, but he was walking from the barn to the house, and that flock of guineas behind him chattering, and he was crying. I remember that. He went inside and sat down and cried.
How old was he then? He was an older man then.
He was probably in his late 60s. He didn't. He died at just barely 72 or so. He was not a terribly old man, but he had had a long life in
a
time.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go ahead. You said he had had a long life or a long time.
And a hard time. You know, he had worked hard his whole life. He expected to work hard. He thought that's the way you had to live. And he did not know what to do when he couldn't do it anymore.
I'm sure you'd never seen him cry before.
No. No.
And he was holding himself like that, mm-hmm. too?
I'm sure that he had cried before because my aunt had cancer. And Dr. Nelson Bell, who is Billy Graham's father-in-law, did her surgery. And he told them at the time, he told my uncle, that she would not live 6 months. And he didn't tell her that. She didn't know, she never knew that she had was supposed to die in 6 months, so she ended up living 12 years. Wow. And ironically, at the end, that doctor was the only one in Black Mountain or Swan or anywhere that we could find to come to her, and he came to the house.
Wow.
And he was That's amazed. Great. He said, I thought this woman had been dead for years. But I think my mama or my dad one told me they had found him praying for her in the barn. He was a very private person. He didn't go to church a lot, but those people didn't have to go to church to believe. They had a strong faith, and
uh-huh.
he every single Sunday of his life, he got up and cleaned up. He didn't have a bathtub, but he cleaned up in whatever facility he used, and he shaved, and he combed his hair, and it parted in the middle. I always turned it this way. And put on his Sunday clothes and sat on his porch and watched the cars pass. You could see the road. It was in the distance, but you could see it. Not many cars passed, but he didn't do anything on Sunday. He would not fire his gun. He would not work a lick on Sunday.
He wouldn't go to church. He'd just dress up in his
Often he did. It wasn't that he didn't want to, but my aunt was sick all the time, and he stayed home with her, and he cleaned up and sat on his porch. They went to see me be baptized, and I don't think he ever got to go inside the new church. It didn't get completed before he died. Mm. But all of his family graves were moved there. And there were several of them. And the plants around the cemetery at Mountain View now, they used to landscape, are part of the ones that were on the graves, Presley graves. Mm-hmm. He was a very strong, good person. He had a wild young life. A man shot him one time, and he beat him half to death after that.
After he was shot?
He shot him right through the wrist, and he used his good hand out, put the man in the hospital.
Was he always a farmer? Or had he...
He'd never worked on any other job except...
Logging?
I don't know if he logged, even. I know that my grandfather did. I don't know if he did that. He had never worked on any other job except that watershed job that I know of, and farmed for a living. Ashley's home. No, Kyle.
What did he look like?
What did he look like? He was about 5'10" and wiry, not heavy at all. He had a long, solid face, almost stern.
Who got you home?
I don't know if I can find a picture of him. I have lost my mama's picture album, and I cannot find it.
Was he strict?
Strict?
Yeah, we didn't know.
In his beliefs of right and wrong, he was very strict. If he told you something, you could count on it being done. He didn't like liars, and he didn't like lazy people.
Yeah.
But as far as me, I don't believe he ever spoke a harsh word to me in my life. And if I ever did anything wrong, he certainly didn't know it because he couldn't see it. And he was that way with my mother. He raised her and her brother for a good while. But then my grandmother got married again and took Mama's brother with her and left Mama with them. But she couldn't have taken her. By that time, he wouldn't have let her take her back because he had raised her and he loved her as his own. He was his brother's child. So he didn't intend to let her go back. My grandmother never knew that. She'd have been so mad. But I know it because I saw the letter that he had written, that she had written telling him she would help raise her and help pay for her things, and she never did that. And he had kept it all those years. Turn that off a minute.
I had a... it's not quite a rhetorical question, but I don't want you to take it personal exactly, because I grew up on a small farm, and I'm very attached to the place.
Mm-hmm.
But some people would say that it does not become us to be so attached in this life or any other to a place, that it's not modern. Some people would say that you can't be attached to a place, and here we are. how would you
I think that I would be sorry that they've never had the opportunity or a place that meant enough to be attached to it their whole life. They've missed something. They don't understand. they couldn't possibly criticize with good credibility, because if they don't understand, it's because they've never known such a thing.
Why do you think a place could mean that much to someone? I mean, we kind of understand why we love our children. We understand why we love our mother and father, and that you... But when it comes to... It's not quite as obvious why one would love a place as much as you love
them. I don't know. I know that my memories of that place are sunshine and flowers and things that smell nice and standing on a great big flat rock and watching the moon rise above that mountain and listening to the night sounds. I just think anybody that's been deprived of that is pitiful. And that's why it means so much to me. I don't know. What kind of a soul would you have if it didn't? How could you not love something like that? I guess I'm part of a breed that may have already died except for me, and that the mountains are part of my soul. I just can't imagine how I would have been if I hadn't lived here.
Do you think it has something to do with like that notions of like God and of your like the spirit get wrapped up in it? Oh, definitely.
I do. I came from a family that was very religious on both sides. My grandmother, my father's mother, was one of the sweetest Christian people I ever knew. And my belief in God is the one thing that I don't know how I would live without. I could be moved from these mountains and survive, but I could not be removed from God and survive. And all of that was combined for me. My church, my home, my family, everything I loved, and certainly God were in one place. And it was all part of one thing.
Did you think you found signs of, signs of God? I mean, like a manifestation of God in that place? I mean, did you see signs that, do you think it was an easier place to have faith? To see signs of God than in Asheville or some such place?
Mm-hmm. I do. I think that it's hard to maintain faith in the places where there are a lot of crime and a lot of pain and hunger and disease. And even I would question, well, why did God let that happen? But where I was, there was none of that. Our personal pain from leaving there was the worst thing that happened to us, and my aunt having cancer. Of course, they had gone through an awful war, but they were all connected with some sort of glue that kept us in one place and kept us from being sad and unhappy all the time. Even the community surrounding us, and some of them are still there, were that way. People who have kept their principles and their beliefs until this very day, some of them are still there, and their children are still there. There's still the same feeling in that community that it had when I was a small child.
Do you think that you carried that place with you?
Definitely.
And, I mean, that it's still a, not just a nostalgic like longing for it, but that it's actually given you strength or after you left? Or do you think it's just, is it just something that's kind of hurtful and in the past?
No, I have memories that are hurtful from the past, but as a whole, it came with me, and I have no regrets from where I came or from where I am. These are mountain people. These are wonderful, good people. And I went today to a place where I would love to go and stay. It's back there toward the Tennessee line. And the people back here have the same old mountain mindset that I grew up with. So, Ashley. And some of them are even more stubborn than the ones I grew up with, I've come to believe. They are strong politicians over here, strong in their religious beliefs and the way they discipline their children. Sometimes comes to be a problem for me these days, but I don't want to be anywhere else. If I'm not on this side of that mountain, I want to be on the other side of it, but I don't want to go anywhere else.
Right. Well, I see that my tape's about to end up. Is there anything else that we ought to cover before?
I don't know. I think that I have been able to bring up all of my children to feel the same way I do about these mountains, every single one of them. And I'm proud of them because they're good mountain people with the beliefs that I've was raised with.
Well, I think that's a good place to stop. Thank you very much for talking with me.
Thank you for letting me.
It was a good thing to think about the North Fork.